Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We are looking this evening at verses 6 through 9 of Galatians chapter 3. When the Lord was working on my heart as a sinner when I was young, 11, 12 years old, and he was drawing me to himself, I became acquainted with people that I had never known before. And they had gone to Sunday school in the U.S. Sunday school in the U.S. is a little different than it is here. It's before the church service. And they would have singing, different types of songs, and then they would have a Bible lesson. And the songs would be, most of the time, pretty upbeat. And they would repeat things often to try and get the children to remember what it is the song was about. And I remember one song specifically that at the time I didn't understand whatsoever. And it wasn't until a number of years later that I would understand what the song was saying. I'm not sure if those that were singing it around me understood what it was when I had first heard it. But I hope that by the end of our time this evening, you'll understand it. And so the song is called Father Abraham. I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm not going to sing you a solo. But it would go, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And then there would be motions, and then they'd do sing that again, and then there'd be even more motions, and it would just keep basically repeating that same phrase. Now, the assumption in that song is that everybody that was singing it was a child of Abraham, was that they were a child of Abraham by faith. I don't think that everybody that sang the song could claim that. I don't think that every one of them was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, that was the song, and it stuck in my head. And it wasn't until that I learned about Galatians chapter 3, not just recently, but way back then, that I finally understood what it was that that song was about. And so let's look at verses 6 through 9, where Paul says, even as Abraham believed God, and as accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So let's think about our context. We've been going through the book of Galatians, and Paul has been writing and building and giving arguments to the Galatians because they had been infected, if you will, by the Judaizers, a group of people that were trying to teach them that they had to trust Christ and obey the Jewish law, that those two things had to go together. And Paul's saying, no, you don't do anything but trust Christ. Now, certainly, there are good works that follow. Those are evidences of the faith in which you have. You don't do anything to earn salvation, and you don't do anything to keep salvation. It's always by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even says that anyone who preaches anything different, let him be accursed. Let him be sent into the pit of hell. And so last week, we were looking at the first portion of this passage, and we went through some questions that Paul asked. He said, did they receive the Spirit of God through the works of the law or through faith? Well, the obvious answer, that is the rhetorical question, is, well, they received it by faith. They didn't receive it by doing anything. They didn't receive the Spirit of God through their works. Then he says, well, if you receive the Spirit of God through faith, are you so foolish to think that now, after receiving the Spirit through faith, that you're going to become perfect, that you're going to keep it, keep the walk by works? Well, how could you keep something by works which you couldn't earn by works? It's impossible. And then he says, have you suffered so much in vain, if it indeed is in vain? If you were suffering because of the gospel, which you say you believe, and then all of a sudden you're going to go to something else, well, then you just suffered all that for nothing because you're not truly believing the gospel. And even those that have come to you and preached the gospel and done wonderful things in your midst, how are they doing it? not by the law, not because it's works, not because they're earning something, but they're doing it through faith in the Son of God. And so this week, as we look at our verses, we find that Paul was to point out that the father of Israel, the father of those that are trying to claim that they have to follow the law, actually didn't earn anything either. That Abraham believed God, and it was counted as righteousness. And so he quotes that in our first verse, even in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So let's think about this quote. Let's think about why it is that this is said about Abraham. So the events leading up to this quote for him. So Abraham had been called into the land of Canaan by God. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, and God says, Abraham, I want you to go to the land that I will show you, the land that I will give you. And Abraham obeyed. And he followed, and he ends up in the land of Canaan. He'd been living there for a number of years. He had some successes. He had some failures, as is one for anybody living by faith. He had a nephew by the name of Lot. And he had to separate from Lot because their worldly possessions had gotten too much. They were both shepherds, and their sheep had gotten too many and too plentiful. And Lot ended up living near Sodom and then eventually in Sodom. And there were some other kings, I'm not going to go into all the details, but some kings came down and attacked Sodom and the other cities of the plain and took the people and spoiled and all the spoils of war and carried them away. And Abraham took his servants and went after them and defeated these five kings. And he brought the goods and the people back. And he's on his way to Sodom, and he passes by Salem, which eventually becomes Jerusalem. And there in Salem is Melchizedek. He is the king of Salem, and he is the priest of God. And he comes out and he feeds Abraham with bread and with wine and blesses Abraham. And Abraham responds by paying tithes to Melchizedek. The king of Sodom hears about it, and he shows up, and he says, Abraham, you keep all the stuff, and just let me have the people. And Abraham says, no, I'm not keeping anything, because I don't want anybody to say you made me rich. I made Abraham rich. He says, the only one I want to bless me is God. I don't want the blessings of folks like you. And so this happens right before, and the very next thing that we're told is that God appears to Abraham in the vision in Genesis 15 and tells him that he himself, God, would be his exceeding great reward. Not that there would be some other reward in the future, not that he's going to get this land, but that God would be his reward. Abraham responds, he says, you know, you promised me this land, but I don't have an heir. Right now, the steward of my house is my heir. What am I going to do if I don't have a kid? And God says to him, he says, come on outside. I want to show you something. And he shows him the stars of the heavens. And he says, number the stars. And if you can number those stars, that's how many children you're going to have. That's how many your heirs are going to be. That's as your seed shall be. Then the next verse is where it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's the very next verse. See, and then after this, God makes a covenant with Abraham. God passes through and makes this covenant and promises Abraham that he will bless Abraham. He will bless those that bless Abraham and curse those who curse Abraham. And this covenant is made with him. 400, as we find out later in Galatians, 430 years before the law was ever given. This promise has been made to Abraham. This statement has been made about Abraham, that he has believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, we'll see eventually, the law has nothing to do with it, because it couldn't, because it wasn't even given at this point. But then the question comes, do you believe God? Do you believe the words that he says about himself? We claim that this book is the word of God. Do you believe that it's the word of God? Do you trust the things that it says? It's a question that cannot be answered by anybody else for you. It's something that you have to answer yourself. Do you believe God? Do you believe what he says about his son, Jesus Christ, that he is the savior of sinners? Do you trust him? So Paul introduces this, and then he says in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now this seems a bit odd at first, but the Bible from time to time speaks about people as being the son of something or the child of something or someone when they're not really the child of that person or thing. One of the most famous examples is found in Mark chapter 3, and it's talking about Jesus, and he says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Abraham and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. It would be good if we remembered who the disciples were like we remember other things. I remember when I was a very young preacher, there's a TV show in the States where they have a catchy tune and it's just a large family. And I said, can you name the Brady Bunch? And everybody can name all the people in the Brady Bunch. And I said, okay, well, now can you name the disciples? And nobody can name even four of them. They could get Peter, James, and John, and that's it. They were stuck. But nonetheless, what does Jesus do? He says, James and John are the sons of thunder. Now, were they sons of literal thunder? Of course not. They weren't sons of thunder. And their dad was never described as thunder. His name was Zebedee. And we have no description to say anything about it. What Jesus is saying is that their personalities, their temperament was a strong and bold and brash sort of temperament. They were sons of thunder. Paul is using that same sort of motif here when he says that they that are of faith are the children of Abraham. Am I literally a child of Abraham? No. No, my father's name was Anthony. He died this century. He was born last century. He has no connection with Abraham in any way that I'm aware of. And yet, because I am a person of faith, I'm described as a child of Abraham. That song can be sung about me. Well, what does that mean? It's saying that in Christ, in the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that there is neither Jew nor Greek. Paul says that later in this chapter. There is no differentiation between male or female. There is no differentiation between those who have money and those who don't, between masters and slaves, between different nationalities, different ethnicities. We're all the same in Christ. Why? Because we are children of faith, just like Abraham was. He is listed for us as the first one of faith. Now, there were certainly believers before that, but God is showing us something, and he's showing us slowly so that we can better understand that it is of faith where righteousness comes. It's the only way that it comes. There is no preferential treatment. There is nothing that you have to do to get it. There is nothing that you have to pay to get it. There's no familial situation where it's guaranteed to you. Just because you're the son of a Christian, a daughter of a Christian, means absolutely nothing. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ yourself. Just as it says we're children of Abraham, later on he'll say we're children of God, adopted into the family. And you know what God doesn't have? I've said it before and I'll probably say it until I die. He has no grandchildren. There is no such thing as a grandchild of God. It is a child of God. You're born of the Spirit of God into the family of God as a child of God. And we are all who are in the family of God equal one with another. There is no preeminence. There is no favored status. And that's what Paul was saying. We're all equal. We're all equal with Abraham. That's what he's getting to. We're all equal with him. We'll get to some of the implications about that in just a few moments. So he says this, and then he says something that might be surprising. He says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." Frequently, in modern Christianity, we have this idea that when we share the gospel, we have to share these particular facts. And if we don't share all of them, we haven't shared the gospel. The Bible doesn't speak like that. Paul says to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." He didn't say anything about the Philippian jailer's sin. He said, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The Bible here says that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. It's preached unto Abraham. Can you tell me where Jesus Christ was spelled out to Abraham in the Old Testament? It's not there. It's not spelled out that way. And yet the gospel is preached to Abraham back in Genesis. Well, let's find out what Paul means. Now, we don't know exactly how old Abraham, when the statement that we spoke of, about the covenant and him believing God and it being counted unto him as righteousness, we're not told how old Abraham is at that point. We do know that Abraham came into the promised land when he was 75 years old. He was there for a number of years when that promise was made and he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Sometime after this, Abraham believes God. He says, you know, maybe, just maybe, he's expecting me to do something to fulfill this promise. I have to help in this matter. And so he talks with Sarah, and Sarah says, you know what, I've got a suggestion. You know, maybe I'm not the one who's going to bear the son. Maybe it's your son, but not by me. Because guess what? I can't bear kids anymore. That time has passed me by. I can no longer bear a child. And so she sends Abraham into her handmaid, who bears him Ishmael. Now, sometimes we get tired of waiting. We get impatient, right? And sometimes our impatience creates issues. And this is certainly the case for Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and all of the Jews throughout history. Because of Abraham and Sarah's impatience, Ishmael is born, who is the father of the Arab nations. And the Jews and the Arabs have been at one another ever since. And we say, oh, you know what? God works all things together for the good of those that love. Absolutely true. But guess what Abraham had to do? He had to wait 13 more years before God appears to him again and says, you know what? Ishmael is not the guy. You're going to have a son, and you're going to have a son by Sarah. And you're going to call him Isaac. He had to wait 13 years for that to happen before God comes to him again. So that God comes and says, you're going to have an heir, and it's going to be the one that comes through Sarah. God returns a year later and reiterates the promise in Sarah's presence. So Sarah hears it as well. And he does this right before God is going to destroy Sodom. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah has reached its full, and God is going to destroy Sodom. And God says, you know, we care so much for Abraham, we should talk to him about what we're going to do. And in that moment where God is getting ready to talk to Abraham, he says to Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed by you. Now I want to tell you about what I'm going to do. And Abraham intercedes, and that's why Lot is brought out. And Paul says that this event where God says to Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of your seed, is the gospel to Abraham. That he's not talking about Isaac. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about the future Messiah who will pay the price for sinners, who will stand in the gap for them. Now, you have to remember, this is what we're told. That doesn't mean that's all that Abraham was told. This is just what we're told of that conversation. He may have been given more information. We don't know. But this is what we're told here. And he says that's the gospel. That's the gospel to Abraham. And Abraham believed God. And Abraham felt such standing in God that he says, Lord, you know, I know you're going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain, but, you know, if you found 50 righteous people, would you do it? And God says, no. And he goes down to 45, and then to 40, and then 30, and then 20, and then to 10, and he stops. And guess what? There weren't even 10. There was only one. And his life didn't really sing any praises whatsoever. That's the standing that Abraham had because of the faith that Abraham had in God, because of his relationship with God. Paul says this to us, and then he says something which changes the dynamic from being a child of Abraham to being equal with Abraham. And that's a little harder for us to come to grips, at least for me, it's a little harder to come to grips with. He says in verse 9, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Blessed with faithful Abraham, not by faithful Abraham, but with, side by side. And it gets back to what we were mentioning about that is neither Jew nor Greek, but he's stretching that picture even further, that not only are you by faith a child of Abraham, but blessed with him. What is it that we're blessed with Abraham? Is it the land? Is it the land of Israel that he's talking about? Well, no, Abraham didn't even receive that. He didn't even own any of it except the place that he buried his wife, and he was later buried at when he died. His descendants eventually got it, but that's not what he's talking about. Is it riches? Well, Abraham certainly had riches. He was an incredibly wealthy individual, but guess what happened to it when he died? It didn't go with him. It went to his son. What about the children? Well, they were certainly a part of the promise, but that's not the blessing that God was speaking of. That wasn't the blessing that Paul is talking about here in verse 9. It's the blessing of the gospel. You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul will flesh this out through the following verses and chapters as we go, but he does it gradually, and hopefully it's going to sink into your thinking a little bit tonight. And as we go further through, you'll get more and more of it, that those that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ receive the same identical blessing as Abraham received, that they who bless you, God will bless, that they who curse you, God will curse, that you have standing before God, just as Abraham had standing, to be able to say, Lord, if there's 50 in the city, will you destroy it? You have access to the throne of grace, we're told in Hebrews. We can go anytime. We don't have to wait 13 years for God to show up. Any moment, any day, we can go and speak with him. What did Abraham receive? He received an eternal life, an inheritance as the child of the King of Kings. What does every single person who trusts Jesus Christ believe get? The same identical thing, eternal life. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, waiting in heaven for you. You will be a child of the King of Kings for eternity. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's the blessing that comes upon everyone who is a child of Abraham, who is a child of faith. And it's important to remember what faith Paul is speaking of. It is not we believe that God exists. You know, James tells us the devils believe. But they're going to hell. They know that God exists. That's not what he's talking about. He's certainly not talking about trusting your own righteous efforts, religious efforts, to accomplish something good for God. He's not talking about being baptized, being a member of a church, having faith in general. There's all sorts of people around the world that have faith. You know, those in Islam, they have a lot of faith. They have a lot of faith in their God Allah. They're willing to die for him. That's faith. They have it, but it's placed in the wrong thing. It's placed in the wrong person. Faith that the Bible speaks of is faith in Jesus Christ. It's to know him and to be known of him, It's a personal faith, trusting Jesus Christ to forgive you and to give you his righteousness, putting your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the faith that it's talking about. It is knowing that you have a part in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And Paul is going over and over again saying to the Galatians, don't you dare think it's anything but him and him alone. If you add anything to Christ, you don't have Christ. If you take anything away from Christ, you don't have Christ. It is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. That's who you trust. That's who you believe. That's who you ask forgiveness from. And so the question comes, do you know him? Can you sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them. Can't really say so are you, but so let's just praise the Lord. Can you sing that song in your heart today? I hope that you can. I want you to Jesus Christ. Amen.